Welcome to the podcast of Faith Tabernacle, a place to meet God and connect with others. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information on faith, visit us at faithtabernacle.com.
We're starting a whole new series today and for the month of April. There has been a theme throughout several months, over 6 months now, that we've been talking a lot about the kingdom of God. And this morning, we are moving to kingdom life. So as you turn to your Bibles and the book of John, chapter number 10 and verse number 10, and just in a moment, they're also going to have that up on your screens. I do want to remind our church today that there's two times a year that we give a sacrificial offering unto God. One of them is Christmas time. That's called our best gift offering, and we give an offering for missions, and that goes around the world. For Easter, we do an Easter offering, and that stays here on our local campus. So we're not taking any pledges today. That's going to be this month that we're doing it. But I want you to start praying that what you could give on top of your regular giving. We are investing in our online presence, and we are continuing to invest to be able not just to reach those that are not ready to come back to church, but we believe that this is a key part, amen, of reaching our city, reaching our community and town. And so our phase one, we are going to be building a whole control room that's going to be helping us with our live stream and streaming in general. And phase one of that is $80,000. And so we believe that we can... we can not only give that, it probably exceed that. And so just continue to pray for that. Of course, anything above 80,000 comes in. Our building is 11 years old. I know we keep it up great, but you know, in 11 years, things are starting to need to be replaced. And so anything above that, we'll start applying that towards our building. So thank you for praying on that. John chapter 10, verse number 10. The Bible says this: the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life. Jesus said, the enemy, he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, that's not why I came. I came that I might have life, and that they may have it more, somebody say more, more abundantly. That's exciting, because Jesus is not just promising us life, but he's promising us life more abundantly. Amen. And I believe today that God's going to speak to us. We've been praying, amen, for this service, like we do every Sunday, but especially this Sunday, that God's Spirit would be outpoured in this place today. And I want everyone to know in this house, whatever you have need of, that God is here, amen, to not just meet a need, amen, he's here to fill our life more abundantly. Would you bow your heads with me and let us pray together? Jesus, I love you so much. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this Easter celebration today. And God, I thank you for everyone that has joined us in person and also everyone that has joined us online today. I'm praying, God, for miracles, Lord, to happen this morning. I'm praying, Lord, for your Spirit to be outpoured in this place today. I'm praying, God, today for the death, the burial, the resurrection, Lord, to be applied to every single life amen, under the sound of my voice this morning, that you have come to give life, and not only just give life, but life more abundantly. Nobody has to leave this building, amen, or leave the place where they are watching this morning without more abundant life. We believe it, and we thank you in advance of what you're going to do today. We love you. And God, we celebrate the resurrection, Lord, this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. If you believe that with Pastor, will you clap your hands? And will you continue to do that and lift your voice unto him? God, you're worthy today. God, we love you. This morning, we magnify you this morning. Amen, amen, and amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Let me just be repetitive for a moment this morning and let everybody know in this place and in this house that miracles still happen today. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we will read the Word of God and we will look back and we will think that that is just stories of the past or stories of maybe what happened then but is not happening today. I believe that somebody needs to be encouraged on this resurrected Sunday morning today that Jesus still heals. And Jesus still delivers. And Jesus still today sets people free. Amen. We believe that today wholeheartedly. We believe, amen, that today is just not another Sunday, an obligation to be in the house of God. But we believe when we step into the presence of God that God does great things. And he said, where two or three are gathered together, amen, in his name, there he will be in the midst of them. So you can believe and you can have faith today, amen, that there's more than two or three that are gathered together today in his name. And I want to tell somebody that's watching online this morning, even if you're all by yourself today in your home or in your car that you have decided to dial in, I want you to know you are surrounded by two or three more people and the presence of God is in your home and in your car or wherever you might be today. The purpose of Easter has been downgraded over time to just another holiday, as people call it, of gatherings and food and candy and, yes, the Easter Bunny. Now, let me be clear this morning. I'm not against any of that. Matter of fact, I love the Reese's peanut butter eggs. I really love it since I'm not eating sugar right now and I have to pass by that. But I'm not here to preach against candy or preach against gathering or preach against food. But I need to make it as plain as I can this morning and straightforward to all of us today, amen, that this is not the purpose of Easter. It's not. As much as Santa is not the reason to celebrate Christmas, the Easter Bunny is not the reason why we celebrate Easter. Have fun with Easter egg hunts and baskets and even real bunnies. And I'll let Crystal explain that story that one time that I surprised her with a real bunny when we were dating. Didn't go over too well. I didn't have the money in college to go and purchase a baby bunny that would be all cute, but I got a free bunny from the farm that was about this big, and I'm not exaggerating. That's not a fish story. Like, my fish was this big. It was a big bunny. So I have fun with all that. But at the end of the day, our kids and us as adults must not allow the purpose of this weekend to be watered down to just a celebration of an earthly, temporary holiday. Ever since the birth of Christ, the enemy, Satan, devil, the deceiver, a liar, he was out to destroy the plan that God had for you and me. You see, Satan knew that Jesus Christ was the answer and the Savior to all of fallen humanity. He knew that. And Christ's birth was a threat to Satan's earthly kingdom. The burden and the debt of sin that we talked about last week is what Satan wants you and me to carry our whole entire life. We talked about the scripture, the wages of sin is death. We talked about the debt of sin last week, and that is what the enemy wants you and I to carry this morning. He does not want you to be set free. He wants you to walk out this building the same person that you walked in today. I rebuke that thought today in Jesus' name. You can't walk out of here new and set free. I don't care how heavy you are burdened and how heavy you might feel tied down today. He has come to set us free. Yes, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your hope. And he wants to destroy your life. But the purpose of Christ is the exact opposite. He not only wants you to have life, as we said already, he wants you to have life more abundantly. I want to remind you that the devil hates us so much, and he does. The devil's not your friend. There's people in the world today that are celebrating Satan. They are celebrating the devil. They are celebrating going to hell. They are celebrating everything about hell. If they knew exactly what the torment will be in hell for eternity, they would not play that game. Because the fact of the matter is, not everybody is going to heaven, unfortunately. God wants that to happen. Amen. That is why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Amen. That everybody, whosoever will, would make it. But not everybody is going to make that decision. Because wide is the path, the Bible says, that leads to destruction. And many be found there in it. And narrow is the way, those that are following Christ, and few be found there in that narrow way. Why? Because the crowd is going this way. And then the followers of Christ that are going against the culture of this world is going this way. And the devil hates us so much. He hates us. He's not our friend. He tried to block the answer to our lives as soon as Jesus was born. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, after the birth of Christ, the Christmas story, we see that Satan was already at work to try to destroy Jesus at his birth. The enemy knew your potential. The enemy knew, amen, the plans that God had for you. So he was trying to nip it in the bud, if I could say it like that, amen, at the very beginning, that as a child that Christ would not even grow up and not even have a chance to go to the cross and die for you and me. The devil knew, so he was at work at the very, very beginning. And remember, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He tricks, right? He camouflages it, and he makes it look so nice. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse number 7. I'll read two scriptures first. It says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." Herod was acting interested. Like he wanted to know about Christ being his Savior, but that's not true. Verse 8 says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" False lie, fake worship, false worship, not true. He did not want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill him. And if you drop down to verse number 12 and verse number 13, we see the plan. It says, "And being warned of God," Mary and Joseph being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. You got to get the picture today. Although the devil is fighting to steal, kill, and destroy, God is on your side. And you got to listen to the voice of God because he's trying to direct you. Amen. He's trying to show you the way. They departed into their own country another way. In verse 13, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" The enemy can try to do whatever he wants to do, but he can never out-trick God. Of course, the devil never gives up. He knew what was in store for himself when Christ would go to the cross one day and be buried and resurrected on the third day. He knew that. And not only what would be in store for the devil that would be forever cast in the lake of fire, but he also knew that what would be in store for us. And that's salvation. That's freedom. That's hope. And one day, heaven. We don't talk a lot about heaven because we're so consumed about earth. We don't talk about the joys of heaven because we're so consumed, amen, about the happiness that we're searching for on this earth. But can I remind somebody today, amen, that he's come, yes, to give us salvation, and yes, to give us freedom, and yes, to give hope. But one day, eternity, forever, with him in heaven. His death, burial, and resurrection was just not for us to feel better on this earth. Because guess what? You're not always going to feel good on this earth. Even when you have Jesus in your life, you're not promised a perfect road. You're not promised in this life no tears, no sorrow, no sickness, and no death. You're not promised that. And so what happens on this temporary earth, in this temporary place, that the enemy, the devil, he lies to us and he deals to us that the answer is only here and the answer is only the temporary happiness and the temporary pleasures of this life, of things that, of material things that rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break in to steal. But can I just say it again? Heaven! Heaven, heaven, heaven. That's what it's about. One day we're going to see our Savior. And because of that, the enemy has done everything he could to destroy Jesus' plan for our lives. Right before Jesus started his earthly ministry, he was tempted by Satan 3 times to give up his life, trading out for temporary fame, for temporary power, and for temporary food. Go read it in the beginning of Matthew chapter number 4. And you will see there where Jesus was there and he came off beginning his ministry after 40 days of fasting. And in his flesh, because remember, Jesus Christ was 100% God and he was 100% man. And on his man's side, he was very weak. 40 days of fasting. And so that's when the enemy came in, and the first temptation was, if you're God, why don't you make these stones into bread? Does anybody like bread? Anybody like carbs? Yeah? Just think about fasting for 40 days. How much you would want any type of food. But especially when you had the power to make those stones bread. And he decided to back away from that temptation of temporary fame and temporary power and temporary food. And each day he came back and he fought with the word of God. It is written, it is written. And we see in the Word of God, after the 3rd time of Jesus of not giving in to the temptation, that the enemy left. But we know he came back. Do you get the picture this morning? The devil hates everything about the real meaning of Easter. Everything. The devil would be happy if you just would decided just to go with a traditional earthly celebration, secular Easter, and just stay with that, and he would be so happy. But I want to stir up hell today. And I want to stir my life up. And I want to stir your life up today. And I want the enemy to know that we're proclaiming today of the real meaning of Easter. Satan would like to disguise it for you. And he would like to disguise it for me today. That we would be more worried about the ham in the oven than we're about our soul being in heaven or in hell. The most important thing that you could do today is experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your ham burn, but don't let your soul burn in hell. You can experience the death, the burial, and the resurrection today. You can experience repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You do not have to leave here. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If you don't worry about lunch today, I will buy your lunch if your lunch gets ruined. If you make your way, amen, to God today and something happens about your lunch, I don't care. I'll go buy you lunch. You just worry about, amen, today that your soul will be ready, amen, for the Master today. This is the meaning and the purpose of Easter, period, and nothing else. That you would have life and have life more abundantly. So I ask you today, what has Satan stolen from you? What has Satan stolen from you? What dreams has he killed in your life? I believe that there's a purpose and plan for every single person. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite life, my life verse is that he knows the plans that he has for us, right? To give us that expected end. It's that expected end that God wants us to get to. It's the foundational is the salvation part, is the repentance, it's the baptism, it's the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. God has a plan, amen, for every single one of our lives. He's developed the blueprint, the end game of our life. He has this all worked out, and it's up to us that we either live in that plan and get to that blueprint that he's designed for us, or we decide to make our own blueprint. So what dreams has he killed in your life because you traded out for some temporary pleasure on this earth? You gave it up for a night of pleasure, a night of happiness. You traded it out for some pottage because you didn't think you were going to live the next week or the next month, and you were so tired, you put out and you said, who cares? You just threw caution to the wind. And I want to know what dreams the devil has tried to kill, steal from your life today. Doesn't have to be that way. There might be some in here this morning, you have thought about taking your own life. That is not God's plan. It's not God's plan. This morning, it is a fight for your life. I'm not just talking about physically, but I'm talking about spiritually today. It is a fight for your life. The good news today, which that's what the gospel means, the good news. The good news is that Christ has already died for you and me. Matter of fact, the Bible says in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the midst of our sin, in in the midst of our unfaithfulness, in the midst of our burdens that we are weighed down with, Christ died for you and me. The good news is that He was already buried for you and me. You know what was so good about Good Friday? Because, you know, that's a good question. He died on the cross. Why is that a Good Friday? He was pierced, whipped, mocked, not too many things to think about good things about that. But I'll tell you this morning, there's many good things that happened on that Good Friday, but one good thing was, the Bible says, that the veil was rent in the tabernacle. A little Old Testament history, a little before the dispensation of grace and up to the dissipation of law. In order for your sins to be remitted, blood of bulls and goats. There wasn't a permanent shedding of a permanent, perfect sacrifice until Christ died on the cross. And therefore, you had to go to the priests. No one could go into the holiest of holies in that tabernacle. It was behind a veil. And that priest would go back, and the Ark of the Covenant was there, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. In there represented the presence of God. And people's sins would be rolled back for just another year, not fully removed, just kind of pushed under the carpet. But when Christ died on that cross, the veil was rent, meaning we now have access to God directly. Directly. You don't have to call me to talk to God. You don't have to go through any man to talk to God. Thank God. Thank God. You don't need to say, hey, pastor, can you tell God this? You don't have to do that. You can go directly to Him. You have direct access. That's one of many reasons why it was a Good Friday. You don't have to tell man your sins. You go directly to the Father. Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Our part today, our part now, is just to obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. I want you to stand with me today. I pray that you have some great family gatherings today. And physically that you eat and feast all that you want. But my prayer today for you is that before you feast around the physical table with family and friends today, that you would feast around God's table. Now, my prayer today has been that the liberty of God's Spirit would be set free all across in this room. That there would be zero hindrance to what God would want to do today. It's about kingdom life, that He's come to give us life and that more abundantly. And now we just have to be obedient to God's word. After Jesus resurrected, He was seen for 40 days. He did many more miracles that are not even recorded in the Word of God. But then He ascended into heaven. And He said this promise in Acts 1 that He was coming back and to go tarry ye in Jerusalem, and His Spirit was going to be outpoured. In Acts chapter 2, we find that in Acts 2, 1 through 4. When now, after Jesus ascended, He descended as the Comforter to live inside of us. And the Bible says that when the Holy Ghost came in, the Bible says that they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And that day was the Feast of Pentecost. It was 50 days after Easter. And that was the first outpouring of God's Spirit living inside of man. And Peter preached that day. And they asked him a question after they were pricked in their heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter begins to tell them after he preached an incredible message and their hearts were pricked. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, this is the birth of the church. Acts 2 is the birth of the church. We see the gospel summed up in this scripture when Peter told them, and after they heard the 120 in the upper room speak with other tongues, Peter said to them, you got to repent. That's your first step, and we're about to do that together. Be baptized, a few of you, some of you, a select of you, depending on whatever denomination you call yourself. No, every one of you. Right? How? In the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be baptized. Only way. That's the only biblical way. You will find it nowhere else that anyone was baptized than in Jesus' name. For the remission of your sins, and ye shall, what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they receive the Holy Ghost in Acts 2? What did they do? They spoke with other tongues. And Peter said, you can have it. The Bible says, and this promise is unto you and to your children, and the many as our Lord our God shall call. 3,000 was added to the church that day. Because why? They were open to receive the life that Christ promised, the gospel. How do we experience the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection. Repentance is death. We die out to ourselves spiritually. We're baptized in Jesus' name, fully immersed under water. That's being buried. And as Christ resurrected, we are resurrected a new life and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. No one in this room has to leave here without completing all three of those. It's a promise. It's a promise. So we're going to first pray a prayer of repentance. That's going to get us all ready for what God wants to do. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. that either if you're watching online, wherever you're at, or if you're in this building, and if you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that God would fill you today with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Can God do it? Is it a promise? Let me ask this. Who doesn't want you to have it? Satan, deceiver, steal, kill, and destroy. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we come to you today believing your scriptures of that when we come to you and we repent of our sins, that we say we're sorry, that you will forgive us. And so, God, we're asking right now, God, Lord, that you would look at our lives. And if there's anything in our lives that's not pleasing, not right, anything we said, did, acted, whatever. If there's anything, God, we're holding back that's not right, that you don't, we're just holding on to. We're sorry. God, would you forgive us? We repent. We turn away from our old life and we turn towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for repentance?